speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
To be transfigured, to be changed in form or appearance. For a few moments, on top of a mountain, Jesus' appearance changed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. Jesus' appearance changed. Who he was in those moments was exactly the same as who he was before they began and after they ended. The transfiguration did not mark a change in who Jesus was. It marked the fuller revelation to Peter, James, and John of who Jesus was. They vividly saw the power and the glory of his divinity, which had always been within them. And they heard his identity confirmed. This is my Son, the Beloved. Up to this point in Matthew's Gospel, the disciples had heard Jesus teach and preach. They watched him go toe-to-toe with the Pharisees over the requirements of the Torah. They'd seen him feed thousands from a few loaves of bread and some fish. They witnessed him heal the sick, the blind, the lame, the mute, the bleeding, the paralyzed, the mentally ill. They'd seen him raise a girl from the dead. They were starting to put it all together. Peter had confessed Jesus to be the Messiah. But then they were thrown the biggest curve. Jesus told them what awaited him in Jerusalem: suffering, death, and resurrection. And then he talked about them taking up their cross and following him. Peter, for one, freaked out. He told Jesus that he had to be wrong about all that. The one who feeds thousands, who heals the sick, raises the dead, could not die like a common criminal. That was not the journey Peter thought he was on with Jesus. So imagine Peter, undone by fear, watching God show him the power and the glory that resides within Jesus. On that mountaintop played the most incredible and terrifyingly divine light show, complete with godly voiceover. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. As Peter with James and John cowered on the ground, God's command to listen to Jesus ringing in their ears, Jesus bent down and touched them. And he said, "Get up and do not be afraid." Shock and awe, followed by the gentlest, most intimate moment. Jesus' touch and four of his most important and oft-repeated words, "Do not be afraid." This is the message of the Transfiguration. Get up and do not be afraid. Continue on the journey, because the one you follow is fully human and fully divine, God's Son, full of power and glory, full of compassion and love. We always hear this message on the Sunday before Lent begins, before we journey with Jesus to the cross. We are reminded of all that Jesus is: power, glory, compassion, love. Always. Even at his arrest. Even on the cross. What was seen on that mountaintop was still there in Jesus. That is why we need not be afraid to follow him. Coming off that mountain, Peter would have followed Jesus anywhere. All his faith was in him. But by the time they reached Jerusalem, fear took over. As Peter stood in the courtyard of the high priest, did he remember the mountaintop? As fear drove him to deny knowing Jesus, did it feel like the transfiguration had been a dream? Fear doesn't factor into following Jesus for us the way it did for Peter. Highly doubtful we'll be thrown the curve of possible martyrdom. But in any age, taking up one's cross can be frightening. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves, trying to heed Jesus' call to live a sacrificial life. There's plenty of room for fear in that, especially when we get thrown a curve that changes our journey from what we expected it would be. How large can our fear loom without the gift of the shock and awe of a mountaintop moment? If only we could feel Jesus' hand, hear him tell us to not be afraid. Last week, I came across a photo on my phone from 2018. If any of you are familiar with St. Luke's Hospital, you know in their elevator foyers, they always have these little posters up with sometimes lots of babies, but usually there are quotes from the Bible or prayers. And I obviously wanted to remember this one. Breathe on us with your abundant life, that where we cannot see, we may have courage to believe. Thank you, St. Luke's, November 2018. Breathe on us with your abundant life, that where we cannot see, we may have courage to believe. When fear rises in us, and we're not on that mountaintop, can we have the courage to believe that whatever we fear is no match for Jesus' power and glory, his compassion and love? Not too long ago, we were thrown a curve that perhaps has changed our journey from what we expected it would be. Nothing like the curve of learning Jesus would die in Jerusalem, but still, a curve. Our rector left. For almost 7 years, we came to church knowing what to expect on a Sunday morning. We had the comfort that comes with familiarity, with trust having been built, and expectations having been met. If you are missing Luke, you might already be pining for the way things used to be. Although, just 2 weeks in, not much is different, except for a lack of bad jokes from the pulpit. If you see him, feel free to tell him, I said. Is the Reverend Dr. Rob Boyle? How will he do things? How long will he be here? What will our new rector be like? How long until he or she comes? I don't know anybody who likes uncertainty or change. They can make fear well up within us, tempting us to step back into the safety of disengagement. Maybe spend some time at a church down the street. Maybe hold off on pledging. Wait and see how things work out. Breathe on us with your abundant life, that where we cannot see, we may have the courage to believe. Give us the courage to believe that Jesus is with us right now, with power and glory, compassion and love, calling us to continue the journey of building the mission and the ministry of St. Peter's Church. For all the fear it can stir up, a time of transition in a church is a time of possibility, of discovery, and opportunity. And our interim rector, Rob Doyle, is a pretty darn impressive priest. He has the gifts and the wisdom to guide and support us on this journey. And he is all in. Anyone who would drive from Portland, Oregon to St. Louis in February to be with us is all in. I'm excited for you to meet him next Sunday. Out of loving kindness for Rob, please wear your name tag. How will Jesus lead us through this curve that we didn't see coming? Lead us in discerning priorities for our mission and ministry. Lead us in knowing what to look for in our next rector. And what priest will feel the gentle touch, the encouragement to get up and not be afraid? Not be afraid to enter into something new with St. Peter's Church in Ladue. I wonder where that person is right now. Life has a way of throwing us curves, and curves have a way of ratcheting up our fears. But the gospel tells us, regardless of whether we were witnesses of a mountaintop moment or we spend our whole life at sea level, the gospel tells us that curves can lead to new life, because the one we follow through those curves is God's Son, full of power and glory, full of compassion and love.